Okay, yesterday we left off at the bottom of Nidzayin with Bed with the story that took place in Mechuz, the city of Rava. And there was a guy who entered into a Jewish store and was chichich, right? He dabbled in the wine that was there. The owner got upset, took that wine that was there, threw it back into a barrel. And Rava paskind that was mutar, this vune lovei chachavim. Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Rav Huna brother of Nachman, disagreed with him. They didn't live in the city, but they disagreed with them. And they went out. Each one of them went out with their loudspeakers, with their crew to promote their psak. Rav Huna to be matir, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Rav Huna Bar Rav Nachman Lasrei. And then we'll read the Gemara. Then continuing Gemara, we're going to read with the Girs of Rashi right now, which is what we have in front of us, and then we'll go back and talk about some of the issues with that. Ikla Rav Huna brother Rav Nachman the Mechuza. So Rav Huna Breid of Nachman, one of the Baal Plukta, Bali Plukta of Rava here, ends up coming to Mechuza, which is Rava's city. So Amalei Rava, the Rav Eliakim Shamei, Rava says to his Shamash, Rav Eliakim, Trok, Trok, Gali, go ahead, run, close the door, Delo, Eituinshev, and Nidrat. Meaning that don't close the door so Rav Huna Breid of Nachman doesn't come and bother me. I know he disagrees with me. He's going to come try to argue with me. Close the door before he gets here so he doesn't come in. Nobody comes in. Right. Anyway, Al Gabay, he made his way in anyway. Sits down with Rava. So said to him, you know, what's the din in this case? Meaning that Rav Huna Bray, the Rav Nachman asked Rava, what's the din in the case? Basically gave him the case that he had in, what was it? And Rava says to Malay Asur, Afilu Be'ana. It's Asur, Afilu Be'ana. We know that Rava before Paskin that it was Mutar. Rava over here doesn't want Rav Huna to jump all over him. So therefore he says, no, it's Asur, Afilu Be'ana. He says, Vaha Marhu Damar Shikh Sheikh, Enu Se Yain Nesech. Aren't you the one who says that if he dabbles in the wine, doesn't make it into Yain Nesech? What all of a sudden is changing the psak? It says, no, imadamriano the bar midme. Tahu chamro. He says, when I said that, I meant you could sell all the wine, excluding the value of the wine that was classified as yain esach. But me dahu hamra, mi hamra. I never said anything about the value of that wine. So this answer of Rava, which, as Rashi points out, was Rava kind of made this up to not have to face up to Rav Huna. He was embarrassed that he had given the psak before that said mutar. We're going to see in a second, according to Rashi, that Rava reversed his position. Rava originally had the position that he had paskin and mechuzah. Abaye came along and convinced Rava otherwise. So now Rava had altered his position to say asur. So Rav Huna, Breid Rav Nachman had known that Rava had argued him in the past and said it was mutar. So what was he doing over here saying asur? So Rav basically amends the statement before and says, wait a minute, I didn't say mutar before, I just said mutar to sell it, you know, excluding the profits from that wine, the pitcher that he had thrown back into the barrel. But I didn't say that he could sell that part. So Rashi says that it was just a way for him to escape the embarrassment. So now, Amar Rava, ki ata the pumpadita, when I reached pumpadita, akfa nachmeni shmaitita umatnita. Abaye jumped all over me with shmaitita, with memrot of the Amoraim, as well as Breitot, the Asir, that it's Asur. I mean, this is where Rava originally had said Mutar. Here, Abaye came and proved to him otherwise. Shmaitita, what are the Memrot? Da'u Uvda, the Habib Narda. There's a case exactly like this in Narda. Va'asa, Shmuel, Bitveria. Va'asa, Rabbi Yochanan. So here you have Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, who had the exact same case that took place in Mechuzah, and both of them were Osir. So Abaye says, you know, Rava, you want to be matir? I have two Amoraim saying otherwise. Zvamilei lefisha inan b'nei Torah. So Rava says back to you know why they did that there? You're talking about Tveria, you're talking about Narda. They weren't such big b'nei Torah over there, so the Chachamim were afraid to be matir for them. Because if they're matir for people who ain't in b'nei Torah, the outcome will be that they'll be matir in other places where they should be. So then, listen to that, Abaye's answer to him. He says, Avamali, and Abaye responds to very many Arda, Inam B'nai Torah, the Mechuzah B'nai Torah. Wait a minute, okay. In Ochanami, you're right. But Tveri and Arda are worse than Mechuzah, where you get the Psak Lehet there? I mean, they can't be any more B'nai Torah than Tveri and Arda. So if you want to say that's the case there, then you have to apply the same logic by your city of Mechuzah. So that's one. Now, Matnita, what's the Breita? That's the case where they have a barrel that is sealed on the top. And the Obed Kochavim is an agardimin, which is an interesting job that he had. He was Adam Umuner Lishmor Hamidot B'mitzvot HaMelech Shalesh HaKrubim. So these were the weights and measurements inspectors that came along to check to make sure that everybody was doing this honestly. Rashi says in there, he says, V'toim ha'yayim v'nasis yisur b'neim, that he tastes the wine and he becomes a yisur b'neim, that he was also checking out the qualities of the wine to ensure that there was no lying about what exactly the people were selling there. Now he did this by shekodach b'meineket ve'la ushata minakos v'gzil chavit. So one of the two ways that he did this is that he actually bores a hole in the seal on top of the chavit, takes a kana chalul, as Rashi says, takes a straw, and then he puts the straw through that hole, and through that he's able to take the wine out. He's able to sip the wine out of the barrel through that straw. So that's the minaket ve'la. Oh, shetam minakos. He takes a little sip from a cup and he dumps it back, and he dumps it back into the barrel. That was the case. And what happened? Asarua. So they made it asur. My la banor. I mean, they made it asur means that they also made it by asur banor. So Rabbi says, no, b'shtia. They made it asur b'shtia, but mutar banor, like his psak in Mechuza. That would be the way to explain it. He says, Iochi, litne yimacher. If you want to say that, you know what, the lashon of the Tanaim, when they wanted to say something was, Osir b'shtia and mutar b'ana, you know what they used to use? They said, yimacher, sell it. You're allowed to sell it. So that's a terminology, we're going to see it in the Mishnah coming up also. But yimacher is a terminology of osir b'shtia, mutar b'ana. To say, when they said over here, v'exil l'chavit, and they, masiv asrua, asrua seems like ana. So he says, k'riktani seifa, the latter half of that braita says, charam, oveid kochavim. Rashi calls them a mishuga. Deranged, volatile, quarrelsome,
rash or hasty.
These are all good words for this charam over chavim. Shoshid yadol chavit. He stuck his hand in there. Ve'kasur shoshemini. He thought it was oil. V'nimsa shoyayin. In the end, he finds out it's wine. So when he stuck his hand in, he thought it was shemen. In the end, it turns out to be yayin. V'zeh yamase. This is a case. Ramru yimacher. So there they said yimacher, which means osur b'shtia mutar b'ana. So the braita itself uses that terminology when it wants to express osur b'shtia mutar b'ana, it uses the term yimacher. If that's the case, then in the earlier part where it says asrua, asrua means even b'ana, the Gemara concludes with tiyufta d'rova tiyufta. So it's a serious problem for Rava, this braita, as well as the memorot of the Amoraim. Rava, in the end, which is what Rashi claims, Abaye convinced Rava that he was wrong. Rava reverses his position between the time that he gave the psak in Mechuza to the time that Rav Huna Breit Rav Nachman shows up in Mechuza. So when Rav Huna Breit Nachman shows up in Mechuza, Rava gives him the new psak, gives him the psak now that after Abaye has convinced him. And when he asked him, wait, I thought you said mutar, he kind of wiggles his way to make it sound like in the beginning he really wasn't matir, that he wasn't wrong, he was embarrassed about that, and he changed it, altered it, so that he wouldn't have to explain that he really made a mistake and changed his mind. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara, and as Tosfos points out, the Fiat Girsa that we have, basically you have to read the Gemara that way. There's not much else to do. You have to read the Gemara this way. But the Tosfos takes issue. Right. Tosfos asks your question, but even stronger. That if the Gemara is really like that, the Gemara should have brought the case of Rav and Abaye prior to the story of Rav Huna Breit Rav Nachman. The fact that that story is after Rav Huna Breit Rav Nachman visited Mechuzah doesn't make so much sense. I mean, that Gemara should have laid it out in some sort of chronological order so that it makes sense that the Rava's changing his mind precedes the story where he actually makes the statement that he's changed his mind. So that doesn't make one so much sense. The second thing that Tosa says is that we know that Rav in other places was willing to admit that he had made a mistake. He would say, you know, Dvarim she'amarti lifnichem tahutein biyadi. We see other quotes like that from Rava. Why all of a sudden over here is he kisufa, he's embarrassed, and he doesn't want to be chozebo. He just wants to say chazorbi. He could have just said it. He could have admitted it. Tosfos, based on that, says that it doesn't feel so comfortable the way the Gemara is going. So if you look down, it's the widest line in the Tosfos. It's the big widest line in the Tosfos. Here, lakach perishri. Sharye rov lezvune lov dech chavinu lafilu layayin amshuk shach mishum deshich shuch garuahu. The case here in Mechuzah was not a case where he dabbled in the wine with intent to dabble in the wine. He was dabbling in the wine because he wanted to prove to the store owner that there was wine there and that the guy had lied to him. Yeah, exactly. So he said, that's what he's doing. So that's what Rava thinks. Rava thinks this is a shikshuch. That's not real shilchshuch, because he was just trying to prove that there was wine here. He wasn't trying to make it yayin ezek. And then after that, they dump it back into the big barrel. That comes bato. Vahad asa Rav Shimon Gamliel b'perek batro. We're going to get to that. Cholapoko d'me yayin. So what about the kid? Later on, Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that's the source for this opinion, which is Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you have to at least, when you sell the wine, you have to leave out the value of the yayin ezek that's in there. Hainu dafka b'stam yinam d'chamir tfei. That's why Stam Yenam, where the underlying assumption is that he touched it with intent, he meant to do something with it. Ve'enu nit batel b'taruvuto. When you throw it back into a barrel, that doesn't help you. Aval kan zeh mishukshach ein bo kavanat nisuch. It's clear that he doesn't have any kavanat for nisuch, because he's doing only to prove the store owner wrong. He's not trying to ruin the wine or trying to make it into something that's dead time nesech. So Rava's original opinion wasn't that it was mutar the gamrei, but imacher, even with the value of the moyayin shishikshich. That you could sell the whole thing. Not mutar b'shtia, but mutar to sell it, even with that value included. Obviously, Rav Huna and the two Rav Hunas argue on him on this point, that you have to leave out that value. Then, the story at the top, Ikla Rav Huna Breder of Nachlan Mechuza, this is where they have the girsa change, and he says, B'sfar Mishanim, the girsa is B'ikla Rav Nachman Lemechuza. Why is that important? Rav Nachman's the Rebbe of Rava. So the story is that Rav Nachman then comes to Mechuza. Rava says to his shamei, to his shamish, when Rav Nachman comes, lock the door so nobody bother us, because we're going to be discussing something. I don't want anybody to interrupt. So they lock the door and Rav Nachman. Then Rava, the question over here is Rava asking Rav Nachman what the halacha is. And Rav Nachman tells him the halacha is that you can sell it, the bar midmei, that you can sell it without that value in it. So who Rava, should Rava, halach Rava, it's lovely, show me menu. Rava went to ask him, Varmalai Rava, the Rava Yakim Shamei, Tarok Gali, close the door, and when I'm visiting Rav Nachman here, when he's in my city, when he came there, make sure that you lock the door so nobody comes in, bothers us. He asked Rav Nachman what the halacha is, and Rav Nachman says that these are problems, and then this whole series of the Gemara afterwards, V'itotov Rava Ma'aydar Gardimim, the Nesar Kol Yayin Mitam Tarovet, because there in the case of a Gardamin, the Yayin was totally asur because of Tarovet. He had drank from its straw and let it go back, or he'd taken a cup. Here he's doing his work. He's not coming in to dabble in the wine to make it into Yayin Nesach. Here's somebody who has to check the meal, check the quality of the wine. And yet we still say that when he sells the wine, Yimacher Chutz Midmei, Yayin Shishich Sheik, he has to leave out that value. So from that, proves Rova's position wrong. Tosfos reads on, he says, okay, he asked Rav Nachman, what's the din? Nachman says, asur. And Rav says to him, wait a minute, what do you mean? Did you say that shichshuch ose yayin nesech? When you have a shichshuch, it makes it into yayin nesech. What about the rest of the barrel? Why should everything else be asur? So he says, when I was telling you the din, I said, levar midmei ayayinam shichshach. When I said to you, when it's the big chavit, I didn't mean that you could go sell the whole chavit and everything be fine. I meant to tell you that it's chutz miyam shukshach shabol, except for that part. So that's Rav Nachman explained to Rava what the din is. Rava is asking Rav Nachman, I thought you said that everything was, you said asur, I thought you told me that it was mutar. He says, no, you misunderstood that it wasn't mutar the gamrei. I didn't mean mutar the wine that was in there, the shikshuk. I meant the wine aside from the shikshuk wine that was in there. And the proof is to this is that Rav Nachman says, I know that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan paskin like me in other places. Then they bring in a gardamin is the question on Rava, and that's how Rava Zitotov. It sounds like they don't have the gears of Nachmani there, according to this version of the Gemara. Right? And this just helps with the chronological order, helps with the fact that Rava was asking Rav Nachman, it wasn't that Rav Huna is asking about Rava, and he's changing his mind, he's trying to cover up, eliminates some of the problems that Tosos has by having this alternative girsa in the Gemara. The other thing we discussed was how the measurements individual who was in charge, or the inspector of the measurements, went and put a straw in, and he drank from it. Tosafos wants to know, I don't understand the Pshat and Rashi, because why does he have to actually drink from it? Even if he doesn't bring anything up into the straw, he's already touched the wine through the straw. Now Rashi claims he hasn't touched the wine unless he actually brings the straw up, because otherwise it's Magal Yedei Davar Acher. But then, the Tosafos brings Nir Perish Rashi from Shem Rashi. The Rashbam brought down another Pshat of Shem Rashi, that this is a straw that they used to put in the batsir, which is actually they do today, they still do this today with barrels. Because of the fermentation that happens in the barrels overflow a little bit, they have to have an outlet for the pressure inside the barrels. So they used to put in the straw to let the excess pressure come out, the overflow, the toses come out the top. They put it in the batzir, and then they used to leave it there afterwards. But when they had to seal up the barrel, what they used to do? They used to cut the straw. When they finished it, they would cut the straw off. They didn't redo a new cover. They cut the straw off where the hole was, and then they plugged the cork in that, or they sealed in that hole. Then when you wanted to reopen the barrel, what did you do? You drilled that hole exactly where the straw was before, because that was already a weak spot in the cover. And that's what he did. So when you want to do that, you kolkin beneket umotzei tzomale yayin. Right away, if you just suck on it, the wine will come right up, because that already has a straw in it that goes down into the wine. And then he says at the end, it's an interesting toshus. He goes, umiyu imnashcha notel amid perush Rashi. If you really want to, say the Rashi's perush, ne'emar shekein derach shekadach shelo naga kaneh beyayin. And generally, when you put a straw, it doesn't reach all the way down to the wine. But rather, when you want to drink it, you tip the barrel, and then it comes to the straw. You know that it goes with kids. If the straw is not long enough, it doesn't reach the bottom of the cup. So how do you get the liquid into the straw if it doesn't reach the bottom of the cup? You tip the cup so that it reaches the straw. So that's what he says here. Also, the straws were not made to reach all the way to the yayin. They were above the yayin. So therefore, he never was nogea by yayin. Only when he tipped the barrel does it reach the straw, and that's why he had to drink for it, or halah, to make it come up, otherwise he wouldn't have touched the wine. So that's how I can keep the original pshat in Rashi. Otherwise he says, I like the pshat that the Rashi gives in Rashi, that this straw was made not for the drinking, it was made for the purposes of allowing the excess pressure or toses, the fermentation coming out the top. Later on, when they cut it off, that straw is still there, and then the inspector comes and drilled out that hole, cut out that hole, but then there's a straw there, and he can just suck on that straw and pulls out the wine right away. So therefore, he wasn't the one to put the straw in. The straw was put in by the Jew, so there's no issue of him touching the wine. The only thing that he has to do, he has to drink it, because otherwise he's not the one who touched the wine in that case. Right, so the two pshatim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Arzov, Rabbi Yossi ben Nehuraya, Rabbi Yatveh, because Shatu Chamra, they were sitting together enjoying a nice bottle of wine together. Atahu Gavra, some individual passed for him, but him, Amalei Tashkinon. So he says, you know what, listen, why don't you be our waiter? You know, they're sitting out on a sidewalk cafe, they got their wine bottle, and they see somebody passing. Like, oh, come here, why don't you be our waiter? Vater derama lekaso. So after he poured them their wine, their cups, they made a little mistake here. They have to pick a non-Jewish waiter. So now they had a non-Jew had poured them a wine. Chad asar afilu b'ana. One of them says that the wine is asur even b'ana. Chad shari afilu b'shtia. And one says that what's there is even mutar b'shtia. You have like a miktzei al ktzei here. So I'm Rabbi Shur ben Levi. Manda asur shapi asur. Manda shari shapir shari. The one says asur. Okay, the one who says shari, so I'll explain this. Manda asar, the one who says asar says like this. Meimar amar salkadate derabonon kiyane shichra kashodu. He says, listen, what? Big rabbis like this, they don't drink beer. They're not the beer drinking type. They're definitely of that higher standard, higher class, and therefore elavadai hai chamruhu. So that's definitely chamruhu. So he knew, this waiter when he came along, he knew that it was chamruhu v'naschei. So therefore he was menasechet. He surmised from the fact that these were rabbonon, they were definitely not drinking beer, they were drinking wine, so he knew what he was pouring. Umanda shari, shapir shari wai, meima omar, sakadat chad rabbonon, kiani, chamro kashotu, vamar lelididi, tashkinon. Wait, would the rabbis ever ask me to pour them wine? I know the din. I know the din is that if I pour wine for them, it's asur. So it must be what I'm pouring for them is certainly not wine. Otherwise, they would never have asked me. Elavada shichu definitely is beer that they're drinking over here. So therefore, lo naschei, it's clear they wouldn't be menaschei because he would have never surmised that it was wine that he was pouring. He wouldn't be menaschei. Umar says, v'haka chazi. Doesn't he see the wine? I mean, when he pours it in the end, he knows what's coming out of the bottle. So Umar says, v'lelvio. It was at night. V'haka marachle. He smells it. In that the wine has a different odor than the beer. So he says, b'charito, it's new wine, meaning that, I don't know if it's grape juice, it's wine that does not as yet to attain some fragrance, or it was not as aromatic yet, so he couldn't smell the wine, and therefore he couldn't tell. At night, he's pouring, he couldn't tell what it was. So the question here is, what did he think? What was his assumption? Is his assumption that rabbis don't drink beer, they only drink wine, and therefore he knew it was wine? Or is he saying the rabbis knew I was a goy, and therefore they would never ask me to pour wine, it must be that it's beer. And so that's why one was mater and one was oser. Marcellus, v'hagag naga b'ei b'natva. So wait a minute. He's touching the natva. Avalei mago b'chavim shloka v'ano v'asur. Wait a minute. He's taking the natva. The natva, today we use natva for a washing cup. But the nata was similar to a washing cup, which is what they used to dip into the barrel, to take the wine out of the barrel, to pour it, put into the pitchers, put it into the kosot, a ladle of sorts. They used to take the wine out of the barrels. So wait a minute, he takes this ladle, and he's taking the wine out of the barrel with this ladle. Now this is, it's a magal shalobi kavana. Now this goes back to the machlokas, you remember, between Rashi and Tosafot early on in the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi believes that when it came to the Ludavita, when he was coming down from the tree of the Ludavita, what touched the wine on the way down was the tip of the lulav. And therefore Rashi believes that something, maga yadei davar acher, maga through an alternate item, that where he touches shalobi kavana, is classified as touching, as a problem. So that over here, Rashi says the goy didn't touch the wine, he touched the natla that touched the wine, but that's enough, according to Rashi. The Rabbeinu Tam has to change, over here it says about the gears, over here has to say that it wasn't that the natla touched the wine, but he actually touched the wine, because he thinks that the magash lo b'kavana means begufo. He has to actually physically touch it. Yeah, but look, come on. The Rabbeinu Tam, lo goras v'haka noga b'natla, ela v'haka noga b'. He changes the gear, so to read just v'haka noga b'. He leaves out the word natla over here. So the Rabbeinu Tam eliminates that, because the Rabbeinu Tam shita that when we're talking about shlobi kavana, it's when he physically touches it, not when he does it with the natla. So somehow you have to actually touch the wine according to the Rabbeinu Tam over here. So here he dumps it in and he pours it for them. Bavale mago v'chem shlobi basur. Lo, tzricha de kamorik orike. So the way that he poured the wine was not that he actually put this natla in, or going to Rabbeinu Tam, his hand touched the wine, but rather he took the entire barrel or pitcher and emptied it out. I mean, that he never physically came into contact with the wine, because he was emptying out whatever was there in the bottle. Vavale kocho shalobi kavana. Both cases are shalobi kavana. The difference is, one case is a case of magal. According to Rabbeinu Tam, means physical magal. According to Rashi, it's magal yidei davar acher. When you pour out of the bottle and don't do that, it's called kocho, and that's magal. Kocho is not asur, it's only nisur derabonan kocho. Kocho is where my koach pushes the wine out. Here, the goy never comes into contact with the wine. All he does is he pours the bottle out. Like say he took a bottle of wine, he's pouring it out. He takes a barrel of wine, he's pouring it out. He's never in contact with the wine. In the first instance, we thought he was in contact with the wine. He was either putting the natla in or his hand into the wine, so he was in contact with the wine. There you mag over him. Orika orika is just kochol. The kochol shlo b'kavana. The chol kochol shlo b'kavana. Lo gozrei bara banan. The banner nad gozer b'kochol shlo b'kavana. So when he didn't have kavana, here he didn't know it was wine. So he's pouring it out. He doesn't know that. So that's kochol shlo b'kavana. The banner would not gozer over here. So now, obviously, our wines today, when you're in a restaurant or something, the goy pours the wine, they're problematic, because there it's kochol bikavana, right? He knows it's wine and he's pouring it intentionally. Tosos over here does ask, he says, wait a minute, if you go to the Beis HaMikdash and they do nisach hayayin, how exactly do they do nisach hayayin? They do nisach hayayin, you touch the wine? No, then they poured the wine into the seifel. They took it from where the wine was in, the coast or wherever it was in, and they poured it into the seifel on the mizbeach. That's exactly how you do nisach hayayin. Nisach hayayin is done through pouring out of a bottle, pouring out of some sort of utensil that is holding the wine, not where all of a sudden you dip your hand into the wine or you touch the wine. So Tosfos says, but it seems to me that horiku should be even more so yayin nisach because of that. So he says, if you look, Vakasha, Daba Maskona de Milto the Kaman Basov Pirinkata Barova Pirishim Kokoshva Vikim Kagon Morik Orike, Hikabosha Yaina Surbana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Azza. From our case over here, because that sounds. He says, Oh the Adra Bhiai Gabna Yaroka Yumanaskin. That's exactly how you do Nisuch Hayayin into a bottle. So he says, Vish Lamar Mashutzok Lafresh Naga and Lesor Afma Bishifnim Shalo Yira Yadayin. So the way Tosfos gets around it says that the question here was not about what came out, but what remained. So that not the wine that was in the cups that was in front of them, but rather what's left in the barrel or what's left in the pitcher that he emptied out, Orika Marika. So if he does it where he touched the barrel or he put the natla in, then you have a naga, shalobi kavana, that would ruin the chavit. Over here where he pours the kochol, that we have a din. The din is it's a gzera derabanan by kochol, and only mashiyotza lechutz is asur. When it comes to kochol, amenoi kochavim, only things that have left the barrel or left the item that he's pouring are problematic. What remains inside is not necessarily problematic. So that's how we will deal with the issue here. That's the question of he was arike marike, he dumped it out, so what's left in the barrel? What's kochol? And therefore, what's left behind should be okay. It's very perish, v'naschei, sheiriku b'kavanato, b'kavanat nisuch. So the Reb changes later on the Gemara that presents a problem and says, no, there when it says Hariku means that he poured it out the Nisuch, as opposed to over here where obviously he doesn't have intent for Nisuch. That's why we'll come up with a difference in the Halacha. Yayin shemascho obey chachavim mahu. Yayin, now mascho is not a word that we're necessarily familiar with, but mascho is diluted wine. So wine that was diluted by a non-Jew, what's the din? Samarlei v'emo mazgo. Why don't you just use the right word? Why don't you just use the word mazgo, which mazgu, or mazgo, which is the word to dilute. Samarlei ano, kirichtim kamina. I'm quoting you from Tanakh. I want to use the word that the Torah uses. Tibcha, tibcha, the mascha yayna. We're talking about the woman and wine that she dilutes and she presents to those that are her victims. So over here, but there, it's using the word mascha, which is the term to dilute. Amalei, listen to this answer, which is very important. Rabbi Yochanan says back to Ravasi, Lashon Torah liatzma, Lashon Chachamim liatzmo. Keep them. There's the colloquial, and then there's Lashon HaTorah. If you're going to speak, don't use some archaic word, arcane word that was used in the Torah that nobody uses today. That doesn't make any sense. I would maybe differentiate the Ramban al Torah, who writes poetically with all these psukim of the Torah. Over there, he's using words that are still mostly in usage, and therefore it's not something that we consider it Lashon Torah, Lashon Chachamim Latzma. Over here, but the term is not even in usage anymore. For you to use some word that nobody knows what it means, doesn't make sense, either because people won't understand it, like you're suggesting, Shaul, which is that if you're dealing with halacha, you want to be as clear as possible. So he wants to, in the end, he says, okay, Mai, what's the din? Samalei, asur. It is asur, mishum, leich, leich, aminu nizira, skor, skor, the kamar, lotikrav. So we say, it's a archaka. We say it's asur because of a archaka. That means that it's a dindra bonon over here. Even though, technically, maybe it should not be asur, because all he's doing is diluting the wine, he's pouring water in. But because he's in contact with the wine already, there's a danger if we let it go. So now, Rashi, as he points out, Rashi says, afakal delo naga. Even though he never touched the wine, because he's just putting in the water to dilute it. Gazra banim bekochol esro b'shtia. The rabbanim goes there with his koach to make it asur b'shtia. Mishumar chakat aveira. To get it very wrong. Aval b'ano v'adei lo mitzar. But b'ano, it's not asur. Dolo odif minigia yidei davacher shalo b'kavana. Can be no worse than touching it through another vehicle shalo b'kavana. So Rashi brings the example again of the lulav that touches the chamra. Rav says it's mutar ba'ana there. So this is no worse than that case. And therefore, at least it should be mutar ba'ana. Tosfos takes issue and says, no, that man, it says here, asur means asur afilu be'hana'a, af be'hana'a. Tosfos in the end backs away and says, maybe Rashi's right, because the terminology, the Rabbeinu Tam says, whenever it says, leich leich, amrina nazir, skor skor lo tikrav, that is not asur ba'ana, it's only asur b'shtia. I mean, that's the Rabbeinu Tam says, that's a principle in general, and therefore Rashi is right about this. So Rabbi Yirmiyah iklo l'savto. Rabbi Yirmiyah went to savto. Choza chamro demazke obik chachavim v'ishtei Yisrael. Saw that there were these non-Jews pouring wine, and the Jews were drinking from it. V'asohu, and he made us demashim leich leich aminin ezira schor schor l'karmo. So he says that these non-Jews were diluting the wine for the Jews. The Jews were drinking it without any qualms. So he went ahead and he made it also for them, because he says leich leich aminin ezira schor schor l'karmo lo tikrav. Itmar nami. We have a similar memo, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan, which would make sense, right? Rabbi Asi before queried Rabbi Yochanan about this question. Now we have Rabbi Asi saying this aloch over the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Yain shemazgov dechavim, asur mishum leich leich amin nezira, skor skor the kamaloti grab. But he said, nezir, avoid the vineyard so you don't get yourself in trouble. Take some precaution. So do over here. When they're diluting the wine for you, true, it's not asur mi'ikar adin, but nevertheless, take precaution so there's no problem over here. Rish Lakish iklo lebatzro. Shlokas came to a place called Batzro. Chazi strod gachle peri dlo masre. So they were eating fruits without taking off masrot. Va'asr lohu. He made it also for them. Chazamaya, the askide lohu, avid chachavim. He saw water, the non-Jews were bowing down to it. Vishatu Yisrael and the Jews were drinking it. Va'asr lohu, and he made them asr. Atta the kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, he came before Rabbi Yochanan, right, his chavrusa and his rebbe. Samalei, adam koturach, alach, zil, Hodor. He says, while your cloak is still on you, go reverse your position and get out of here. Take off, because you just gave two wrong piskei halacha. Be matur them and don't even rest. You don't take your cloak off, don't rest, and leave. Make sure that you reverse your position. So now, what was the problems here? Betzer, lav hainu batzra. You're in Batzra now. Batzra is not the same place as Betzer Bamidbar, which is what Reish Lakish was thinking of. Betzer Bamidbar in the Torah which would be part of Eretz Yisrael, even though it's an Eivar Yardain, but Beitza Bamidbar is one of the Ari Miklat that is mentioned in the Torah. So he thought it was part of the place that had Kedushat Haaretz, and therefore was Chayiv in Masrot and Trumot. Nevertheless, Batra, Rabbi Yochanan tells him in the end, it's not. It's Batra. It's a separate place. They're two different places. Umayim Shel Rabim in Nasrim. And what about the water they were bowing down to? He says, public water cannot be Nasar. It's something that belongs to the public that you don't have, they don't have a right to come along and be Oseret. So Rabbi Yochanan the Tamei, Rabbi Yochanan is according to his own reasoning. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, sounds like to be his Rebbe. Mayim Shel Rabim in Nasarim. Public water does not become Asur. It says, wait a minute, what about private water? How can you make private water asur? They say, but typically, they're still attached. Water that's still flowing in the ground is attached to the ground. That is precluded from being avodah zarah because we said, Eloheihem al ha'arim, their gods are on the mountains, but in arim, Eloheihem, the mountains aren't their gods. So it's also over here, it's mechubar, the water is still mechubar the karka, why should it be a problem of avodah zarah? So lo tzricha da talshinu galo. There are times when the water detaches from the ground, meaning there's a wave or something that causes the water to detach from the ground. So wait a minute, so avnei harsh and lalunin hov. It should be no different than the stones, the large stones or rocks that we find on a mountain. So over there, the mountain exists. Now you have large boulders on the mountain. Now those boulders are also a part of the mountain. They're not like you bat down to the rock and all of a sudden it becomes. They're not, man didn't do anything to them. There was no creation over there. They were naturally there. So Mar says, this time Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Asurot. We have a question about these, Avnei Harsh and Dildalu. So let's say Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion that they're Asur. And the Gemara never brought that. When we spoke about Avnei Harsh and Dildalu, nobody brought Rabbi Yochanan and said, Rabbi Yochanan says Asur. Lotricha, Tefavchinu Biyadei. Now the case here is that he actually picked them up in his hands. He took the water up, he cupped the water in his hands and took it out of the, and then bowed down to it. So there you have Tfisat Yad. There the human being is doing something to the water. Right, as opposed to these boulders, the rocks that are up on the mountain, that all happened naturally. Man had no intervention there, therefore they remain as a din of harim, and you can't make them asur. But over here, we're talking about the water. He cups the water up in his hands, and he takes it out, and he's able to drink, you know, he could drink from it, but that tfisat yad is enough to make it problematic. Then when he bows down to it, it's now problematic. So because of that, the maim of a yachid would be asur. But when it comes to the maim of the rabim, you can't affect over here. Tosfos over here takes up one issue. It's an amazing Tosfos over here, which is Betzer Lav Anu Batzra. He says that this Gemara seems out of place, because there are many other places that we see that in Chutz La'aretz, they used to be Mafrish, Trumot, and Masrot. So why is Reish Lakish wrong? Whether it's Betzer or whether it's Batzra, either way, they should be Mafrish, Trumot, and Masrot. It's just a question of it's Truma Durabonon, or is it Truma Doraita? If it's Chutz La'aretz, it'd be Truma Durabonon. If it's Eretz Yisrael, it'd be Truma Doraita, or Truma Masro Doraita. So why is Rabbi Yochanan saying reverse your position? He should have been right either way, just a question of Doraita or Durabonon, because the Tosfos brings a number of proofs to the fact that we're Mafrish, Truma to Masrot, even in Chutz La'aretz. Now Tosfos says, don't tell me that we differentiate between, when it comes to Dagan, Tirosh, and Yitzhar, Dagan, Tirosh, grains, wine and oil, which are d'oraisa chayiv in Eretz Yisrael for Trumot to Masrot, and only those were they metakin and chutzarts to be mafrish. But yerek and peirot, which are dinei d'rabbonon, even in Eretz Yisrael, there they weren't makpid in chutzarts. And here we're talking about that. It says, don't say that, because we find other places talking about vegetables, that they're also mafrish in chutzarts. So he suggests over here, maybe, the one possibility is that there is a difference in being maser, when it's din d'rabbonon versus din d'oraisa. This actually, here in Eretz Yisrael, we're so mech on this today sometimes, when we differentiate between a din d'rabbanan and din d'oraisa, which is that when Trumot Masrot are d'oraita, we generally have to be mafish them before we begin to eat them. And then if Trumot Masrot are d'rabbanan, you are allowed to be mafish them l'mafreya, retroactively. That means that even if you eat them from the item, you can be mafish the Trumot Masrot after the fact. In a lot of places, the Rabbanut is so mech on this, that the fact that there is stuff that leaves before they come, or the person who's mafish Trumot Masrot comes, there's so mech on the fact that the Mafreya, they were mafish Trumot and Masrot. The way to get around there is only to buy or come after the person comes to be mafish Trumot Masrot, but we are so mech on this in Dirabonons. So he says, what about us? Based on his answer now, in Ochanami, they were mafish Trumot Masrot in both places. The only question is if they did the Mafreya or beforehand. So Reish Lakish was telling him, you should have done it beforehand. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, reverse your position, they can even do it after the fact, because it's only Dirabonon over here. But that means, according to the conclusion of Tosfos, that we are mafrish truth of the masrot in chutzlaretz. So he says, wait, when was the last time you were mafrish truth of the masrot in Europe, America? Nobody's mafrish truth of the masrot. What's going on? Why aren't we mafrish truth of the masrot? Says the answer. Listen to this answer. He says, that's because it's on the widest lines of the Tosos, it's about 10 lines, 15, 12 lines in. It says, alright, why today are we not mafresh, yenu mafresh makshav, af loki kule ere chutz laretz? Not even like dirabonin in lamafreya. Omer abayinu tam de karka ochelan mushubotem lasarim. We don't own our land. We are subject to the taxing of the authorities, and if we don't pay the taxes, they can compensate the land, or the idea of eminent domain. If we don't pay taxes, they're gonna confiscate it. It's not really ours. We're really, in a sense, leasing the land by paying the taxes. That's the lease fee every year is the taxes that we pay. So we don't really own the land. That's why. It says, Bakasha the reader. He says, what are you talking about? Also, we see all these cases in the Gemara that we have the case of Taska, and someone else pays the tax, they take over the property. That happened, definitely was a Persian law, and they had this in Bavel as well. And that's where they were saying they were Mafresh Trumot Masrot. They had the exact same setup, and they were still being Mafresh Trumot Masrot. So the reader comes up with a different solution, which obviously makes it easier for us, which is that he says, Enochanami, there were places where they were mafresh truot de masrot in chutzaretz, but there were also places they didn't. What was the determining factor? How close they were to Eretz Yisrael. The Chachamim goes there on areas surrounding Eretz Yisrael, that in chutzaretz they were mafresh truot de masrot, in order to, number one, remind them about the din when they crossed over into Eretz Yisrael because they were so close, and also to provide, we see in other places, to provide, like during the Shemitah years and other years, to provide for the Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael that they could go to the places right outside of Eretz Yisrael, get Trumot de Masrot Dirabonan, because over there they were not knowing it should be eaten necessarily. And then they could have the Trumot de Masrot from there, they could get the Maaser Ani. There were ways to get it, meaning that there was a value in doing this. So that's what he says. So now, Tzosu says over here that there's a Yerushalmi, Mashmi Dibbe Yerushalmi, the Davashim Dibbeim, but Aretz Lo Efishu Kla B'Chuzaretz. Right, so it sounds from the Yerushalmi that in the end that there were some kulot that they had, that they didn't go full-fledged, even in the Chutzlaretz either, that it only paralleled what was Dil Raisa and Eretz Yisrael, that they were Mafresh and Chutzlaretz, or even later on, maybe they were Mavatel the Minhag entirely, but that it was not Europe and other places that are far away from Eretz Yisrael were never subject to that din of being mafresh truot de masrot. It was only the properties that were proximate or places that were proximate to Eretz Yisrael. And even that, maybe at a later time, that they were either mevatel it or they limited it significantly to what was d'oraita in Eretz Yisrael, and not a full-fledged requirement of trumot de masrot. So we'll stop over here.